Welcome, Cyclone fans, to a special podcast episode. We're not doing Down the Pipe this week since we've got a kind of an odd week with Thanksgiving and Marchie's busy with his state coaching his state playoffs contending high school team down in Texas. So to preview Kansas State and Farmageddon this week is a good buddy of mine, Matt Morgan, who came back. If you guys remember, he did a basketball podcast with us previewing the Kansas State game back in the spring or back in the winter. So I decided to bring Matt back around and we'll talk about Farmageddon football this week. So Matt, how's it been?
It's good. Thanks for having me back on. It's nice to get to chat and talk some shit. And
there you go.
Yeah, just get to hang out.
It's a fun rivalry too, because it's just like the schools are so outrageously similar, just in culture and the football programs and everything. They're remarkably similar, the fan bases and all that too. That like any like shit talking that goes one way could almost certainly go back the other direction. So it's just kind of
100%.
Silly rivalry.
And I remember when folks first started calling it Farmageddon, I thought it was the dumbest nickname, but then I was like, well, they're not wrong either.
Yeah, they're 100% right.
It still is kind of, and then it's grown on me, obviously. So,
I mean, we're talking about two crop judging, two NCAA crop judging dynasties involved here.
Dynasties. Yeah. Well, and don't forget the
crop judging the and meat judging. Yep.
Our heifer squad is.
I think Iowa State was the national champion meat judger last year or whatever. But you know, Kansas State's got a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, I don't know when they did it. I haven't.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when it actually happens, but
good for them. Good for them.
I'm glad that Kansas State can get a national championship in something.
Easy. if we're gonna count those, then like we are towards the top with all of our made up national championships.
Yeah, all of the non NCAA national championships.
Yeah.
Those are the fun ones, though. You know, like you got like, we had it in there. Air Force had a quote unquote national championship in like firearms or something like, or maybe it's Army had something
because
in like
they're
firearms.
One of three schools. Because
it's the military. They actually have firearms training. Congrats, of course they won a national championship.
Yeah. If you didn't, that's when we start to work.
Yeah. I would say then we got to start doing like an audit of this whole thing. So what's going on? But you know, so, these two teams had kind of roller coaster-ish seasons and have taken very weird and winding paths to where they're at right now. Mm-hmm. Now, Kansas State started the season as I would argue, at least a favorite or at least kind of a contender towards the top of the Big 12 and like projected to be there. Started out the season kind of slow or whatever. Didn't lose a lot of games, but just kind of struggled a little bit to start the season, looked a little bit shaky, and then have started to kind of pick it up and just kind of compiled wins through here. Some blowouts in some close games that like last week against Kansas where it looked kind of ugly for a while and then just kind of pulled it out.
It was very ugly last week. Yes, yeah. The KU game was frustrating on multiple levels.
Whereas Iowa State was not projected to be high at all in the conference, projected to be really towards the bottom just because its team is so young and started out real shitty, lost at Ohio. and then after that game, I sent a message to one of my friends. I said, I hope you guys are right. Like, I hope you're ready to go 1-11. Watch this fan base just completely set itself on fire. Fortunately, that did not happen because they kind of got some stuff turned around. And unfortunately, the middle part of Iowa State's Big 12 schedule turned out to not nearly be as good as we thought it was going to be. Like with Baylor being bad and
TCU being going kind of the national championship to where they are this year. That's
right. Baylor and TCU falling off helped out quite a bit. Oh, yeah. Cincinnati basically not being competitive helped, and things like that. But now we're here and, both teams had or have a shot at the Big 12 championship, you know, at a berth in Arlington here in the last few weeks of the season. So I guess, Where are you at with Kansas State right now? Because it's been all over the place so far. Like, I guess, what's the confidence level look like?
Oh, man, it's all over the place. Absolutely. Our three losses have been super close. The Missouri game literally took a record long field goal as time expired to beat us. And we were kind of turning the corner at the end of that game. We're so spotty and our play calling will go through these stretches where it's incredibly predictable. Like we'll have nine guys in line of scrimmage but like in shotgun. So like, okay, we're not fooling anybody. They know we're going to run it. So Klein's been really inconsistent, I feel, in play calling, because there'll be stretches where he calls amazing games too. So we'll see. I think all three of our losses, the Texas game especially, that was a game that literally got away from us. They tried to give us that victory, and God, you get it first and four, or first and goal on the 4 yard line, and you have a guy that's averaging 6 yards a carry on his career, and you don't give it to him once. Like that, that was frustrating. So Oklahoma State was just an awful game all around. But that was also kind of Ollie Gordon's coming out party too, where right. he just gashed us for dang near 200 yards. Terrible game by Howard. Well, I think it was three interceptions. Mm-hmm. Literally gave the game away. That one, if we played again, I would feel very, very different. But all three of our losses, it's not like we were blown out. They're frustrating because we had opportunities to win every single game. So that's where I think it's hard to say. We can play like world beaters for some time, because the first half of Texas was very discouraging. The second half of Texas, we looked like we could literally beat anybody. And that's where I think this team has just got to be super consistent. It starts with, again, Colin Klein, the play calling, Will Howard, and man, just give DJ Giddens should not have less than 20 carries a game. That he's so fun to watch run. And it's wild to me that how angry he runs. Everybody talked about, oh, well, you lost Deuce Vaughn and all of his production. Like if Giddens, his per play and per touch, like production is just the same. Like if the dude had the same amount of carries, I have no doubt he could go for 1500 yards. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to say. I think that we're going to beat you guys. ESPN says that we're like 85% favorites.
It's tough. It's a home. It's at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Yeah, so that helps quite a bit. Yeah,
it does. Currently we're 10-point favorites. I think it'll be about that. I felt confident before, like we were supposed to just dunce on KU, and we came out and the team looked like they had never defended a speed option before. And so who knows? Who mm-hmm. knows what shows up?
Yeah, it's one of those things too, because the 10-point spread honestly doesn't shock me one bit, because we thought last week with Texas coming into town that was going to be a game. That, I mean, it ended up being a really just kind of just brass knuckle, you know, fist fight type of game for about three quarters. And then Texas eventually just kind of pulled away because mm-hmm. they're a super talented, super veteran team. And I would say it's a very, very young football team. One of the youngest in the FBS. And we've kind of seen that in the Texas game and a few other games so far this season, that the team just isn't 100% ready for the big moment just yet. Sometimes just in crunch time, they just aren't quite making the plays they need to do to win those games. And it's 100% the product of having a super, super young team. You know, I don't think talent's the issue or anything like that. It's just having a really young team. That's what worries me about this game, because Kansas State's always very, you know, always very well coached. I think they're a pretty veteran team this year.
We're pretty senior heavy along right. the offensive line.
Your 200 year quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. He's almost as old as I am. And he still has a COVID year, I believe, which is the weirdest thing to think about.
Is he going to use it?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Or is he just going to say, I'm done?
So going into the year, some other K-State buddies and I, we genuinely thought he had a chance to be a mid-round pick. If he kept progressing the way that he has
sure.
year over year, absolutely. He's got a cannon. But then this year, he's looked so bad. I think he played himself out of getting drafted even late round.
Yeah, like maybe he's a scout team guy or something too. Like that.
He'll probably get a shot somewhere in camp still if he does leave.
Right.
I think he definitely hurt his stock, because as good of an arm as he has, his decision making is so bad.
Sure.
He'll sail passes left and right. He'll launch it, you know, 50 yards downfield without trying, but it's going to go to the safety more often than not. Like the Troy game was a perfect example of that. Like every deep pass that he threw just sailed over by 4 or 5 yards, got picked off, or he just gets decision paralysis. His first read isn't there, and he locks up and just he'll take a sack or kind of fumble around and force it. So I think Will Howard has definitely regressed. And I think that's where we honestly, I think that's why we lost the Oklahoma State game and a good factor in why we lost to Texas.
Will Howard's career is a total enigma for me because so from in our sphere of consciousness as Iowa State fans, you had the 2020 season that was 45-0. Will Howard was he started, and that's where I
he started.
That's the first time that I heard of Will Howard, and I didn't like it didn't matter after the first quarter. And then the 2021 game, Breece Hall took over, and Will Howard, I think, did he start or did Skylar Thompson start that game? I think Skylar
started in 2021, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so Breece Hall took that over, and that game kind of didn't matter after the first quarter or two. And then last year, Iowa State was not really all that competitive, so like it was kind of one of those things. And then all of a sudden, now Will Howard has been here for a long, long time, and he started in 2020 because Skylar Thompson got hurt, and then Skylar Thompson played again, then Will Howard, and now we're back, and we're at Will Howard again. So now all of a sudden Will Howard has like had this entire career and I just like haven't noticed any of it. And it's not like the whole thing just flew by. Like I realized he's been a productive guy for Kansas State. Like it's not like a knock on Will Howard or anything like that, but it's just a strange thing to see him like have this full career happen. And I just like, I like missed the entire middle chunk of it. Because it just
well, I think too, because he this is the first year that he actually entered the season as the unquestioned starter.
Sure.
Because last year we brought in Adrian Martinez, who
right
was kind of a head scratcher because they talked so much after Will's sophomore year about, oh, we have the best backup quarterback in the country, but we still want to bring in somebody to like bring competition.
Sure.
You know, rising tides type of situation.
Right.
So Adrian Martinez, you know, we beat OU last year and people are talking Heisman for him, which I thought was a little wild, but then
Adrian Martinez has been in Heisman conversations his entire college career for no reason whatsoever.
He did have very, very good games, but sure. he would have one good, like one monster game. And then some like, okay, like you're there, like, cool. But then he got hurt last year and Howard took over and just never gave the job back.
Right.
So this was his first year to actually be like the unquestioned guy. But then we also had Avery Johnson, who's the incoming, you know, five-star recruit, one of the top recruits, our highest rated recruit in program history, I believe. Right. And he comes in and like, there's all this pressure, but like Howard's done fine. Like there was the Texas Tech game where literally it was Avery Johnson saving it for us. But, you know, it's wild that Will Howard has been around for as long as he has, but it's just kind of, it's been like, there's no huge moments outside of the Oklahoma State game last year where we shut out a top 10 team, which I don't know if Oklahoma State was really a top 10 team at that point because they didn't beat anybody up to that point.
Right,
but
right.
That was a monster game. And so it's kind of the same thing with Adrian Martinez versus Will Howard. Like they'll have these monster games, but then the rest, when they go back to the norm, it's so-so. But like Will Howard has been good. Like you hinted at, like he has our career touchdown record, which is awesome for like, it's great. I appreciate all of his work, but as much as it's nice to have an experienced, seasoned senior quarterback who knows what he's doing, the COVID year, I don't know if I want him to use it because I'm ready for Avery at the same time.
Well, and that's the way we were when Brock Purdy left, because Brock Purdy did have a COVID year left. He could have been back last year. Mm-hmm. But he didn't because he was ready to move on. He had played three and three quarter seasons at Iowa State or whatever. And we were like, he's ready to move on. We're ready to move on. It's like, it's fine or whatever. Like we're okay if we don't have Brock Purdy another year. And obviously that's worked out well for Brock. And now it's, you know, we're in the middle of our transition away from him and stuff like that too. So, you know, it's one of those where maybe he just decides like it's time to move on and move on to either trying to make it in the NFL or to just move on to my professional life, whatever, if that's in coaching or whatever it is.
And I think the rule change this year about college players being able to participate in bowl game or not bowl games, but the All-Star games, the invites, the Senior Bowl, stuff like that. I think that's going to be something that is really going to tempt Will Howard. I don't know. And it's all going to come down to the coaching staff too. Like ultimately does Klieman want Will Howard to come back? And that I have no idea. Like I said, I'm ready for the Avery phase to begin. Cause
sure,
man, if you watch him, he's just so exciting to see on the field. Mm-hmm. I haven't felt that way since L. Roberson back in 2003. So
that's a name. Super exciting
to be ready for a quarterback. So it's not that like, I hate Will Howard. I did hate Will Howard for a long time, but I I don't anymore. But at the same time, like, man, he's done a great job. He's set records, but I mean, career's got to end at some point.
And so, yeah, at some point you just got to decide, okay, it's done. We're going to move on type of thing. Yeah. You know, that's an interesting thing. So I guess now looking at him, I know you had mentioned some turnover issues that he's had in his career and this season up to this point. Iowa State has, you know, for the very, very few things you could knock John Haycock for up to this point in his career, for his defense, is that they weren't really ball hawks. They weren't turning people over a lot. They were really stout, but they didn't turn a lot, but they didn't create a lot of turnovers. This season, they've kind of flipped that switch a little bit where they're not necessarily as ironclad stout as they've always been, but they're forcing quite a few turnovers. And there was a while there, I'm not sure where they sit right at this exact moment, but there was a while where they were like second in the country in turnover and interceptions as a team. Jeremiah Cooper led the country in interceptions as an individual. This is a defense that has been ball hawks this season, really getting after it. What is your concern level there as far as Will Howard being turnover prone versus Iowa State's defense, who is now forcing turnovers?
That is going to be a massive factor for sure.
Yeah.
The fact that, again, if you get pressure on him, you get up in Will Howard's face. If the first read isn't there, the decision paralysis will definitely take over. There were multiple plays against KU last week, for example. He had Keegan Johnson was wide open, just like simple crossing route, just 2 yards past line of scrimmage, wide open, but he's looking deep for Brooks or Sinnott. And that's, I think, the biggest knock on Howard's decision-making is if the first read isn't there, he's either going to launch it and force it, or he's just going to lock up, take the sack, stumble around and maybe like run for a yard or two. Sure. He's not great at throwing it away when he needs to, or just making those progressions. So if your defense can get in his face, it wouldn't surprise me if he threw 2-3 picks. To be completely honest, because I mean, Troy didn't even have that great of a defense, but they got in his face.
Unfortunately, it's the weak part of Iowa State's defense is getting pressure on the quarterback. They got a couple coverage sacks against Texas last week where they got Quinn Ewers, you know, 5-6 seconds into the play because of the coverage was locked down. But they just that's the only way Iowa State's generating sacks at the moment, and that is a huge point of concern for me.
Sure.
So I guess looking at, what are the strengths of this Kansas State? I mean, it seems like it's a Kansas State offense where they're going to run the ball really effectively, especially in short yardage situations. Yeah. They're going to gash you for 4, 5, 6 yards at a time. Stuff like that. Not necessarily hit a ton of big plays, you know, get a few here and there, but for the most part, really rely on a consistent running game.
Yeah. DJ Giddens is my favorite running back to watch in a long time. And that counts Deuce Vaughn. It's just, he runs hard and heavy. Even against Texas, where like Texas, their front seven, they're big and fast and they're just monsters. But DJ Giddens was falling forward. So even if they made contact at line of scrimmage, he's still falling forward, getting those 2 yards, getting those like really tough yards. Mm-hmm. And he's got some speed. He doesn't have great top end speed, but yeah, the running game is absolutely the strength. Just get our very seasoned and experienced offensive line, get them moving laterally and just let DJ Giddens make one cut and just take over. Mm-hmm. And just like if he's one-on-one with a linebacker, he's going to hit him or he's going to juke him out. Like he's got some moves, but if he gets one-on-one with somebody in the secondary, it's just going to be a stiff arm. It's going to be him just lowering the shoulder and carrying them for 4 yards. That's when I think we are at our best, is when we are able to get 6 yards of carry, because DJ Giddens has the second best career yards per carry in K-State history for anybody that has over 100 carries. He's at just under 6 yards of carry. When you have a guy that runs that hard with a very good offensive line, it's frustrating to watch our play calling get into this pattern where Colin Klein wants the quarterback to be the starter. That was how it was when he was a player. And he very much treats Will Howard the same way. He wants to run these jump passes and run this quarterback power, which is fine because Will Howard can do that. But then we get so predictable where we know that they want Will Howard to win this play. And that's what the patterns that we have to get out of is first and goal from the 4-yard line, just give it to DJ Giddens. Like let the offensive line be as experienced, because Connor Riley, our offensive line coach, I actually got to play for Connor Riley when I was playing college football up at Concordia.
Nice.
So seeing him at K-State, which has been my favorite college football team to watch, has been amazing. It's so fun to see him. But yeah, letting that offensive line just move space. Like, we've got one of the best offensive linemen in the country. Like, Cooper Beebe is a very, very good player.
Yeah.
And so not running behind him and a fifth year starter with, we got Leviston and Duffy, and we've got Carver Willis, who he rotates in a lot at tackle too. Like, we've got these very, very good offensive linemen, like, not letting them just road grade like they do so well and so many times. That's where I think our offense kind of sputters out a lot. And it happened a lot against KU. Even against Texas Tech, we had some slow starts, and even like our convincing wins.
Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing that's bit Iowa State this year too, is a few slow starts. There's been a precious few games where they've gotten out to hot starts and they've been able to just play with a lead, because Matt Campbell's record as when leading at halftime, I think, is 25-0, 26-0 right now. So if Iowa State is extremely good at playing with the lead, but they usually start so slow that they're almost always down at halftime. And that was one. So I guess, is Kansas State also a slow starter, generally speaking, or is it one of those where they try to, like, the way Texas likes to do it is, like, Texas likes to bury you right away and then just dare you to come back type of thing. Is that how Kansas State's trying to do it? Or are they a second half team type of thing? It's so
hard to tell, because we've come out of the gates fast several times. Houston, Baylor, we were up at Baylor game. We were up 21-7 at the end of the first quarter, and then we just buried them right away. Mm-hmm. We let them come back in at the end of the game. But I mean, when you have 59 points, you can kind of just take your foot off the gas. It depends. Every single game feels very different. Texas, yeah, they did what Texas do. They bury you and just they overwhelm you with just like the raw talent and depth.
Right.
And then we had to really come back. Again, that was a game of two very, very different halves for us.
Right.
I think our biggest issue is if we don't get a fast start, we shoot ourselves in the foot just often enough that if we don't, we really, really struggle. And especially in our losses, that's where it comes from. Missouri, we did get a fast start, but then we just, again, we let our foot off the gas a little too much. Mm. Howard made just enough mistakes, and that's where we let the game get away.
Sure. So switching to the other side of the ball here, looking at the Kansas State defense, what do you see as the biggest strengths of that unit? Is there, and what weaknesses are there that, you know, a not great Iowa State offense can get after?
Surprisingly, we're one of the teams that has been doing that 3-3-5 defense that it feels like everybody's been doing the past
few years. You're welcome for that, by the way.
Baylor did it back in like 2005.
Yeah, but they were shitty. And then
they were.
Yeah. Iowa State was the first one to do it well.
Okay. Either way, it depends. So either our front six can just get pressure on there. Our linebackers can play very, very well. As a trio, our starters might be consistently in the top three groups in the Big 12, but then they also kind of block themselves off also too. Austin Moore is kind of the leader of our defense, but also he'll for as many games as he'll have these great streaks, he'll also kind of block himself out of a play, and he'll run straight to the lineman that's coming up to him, and he just kind of lets himself get blocked. So that's frustrating. Khalid Duke, it's nice to see him having a really good year again. He's leading the team in sacks, had a little injury, and then he got ejected from the Houston game. So if he's on the field, he's great. Our biggest weakness is we can play so, so streaky. That's the issue. Jacob Parrish at cornerback, last year, we thought he was going to be one of the best corners we've had in a long time. We've had some very good cornerbacks. This year he'll look like that for a series, and then he'll look like a freshman all over again for the rest of the half. So it's super frustrating. Mental mistakes is our biggest issue. Marcus Siegel, it hurts my soul to see all the play-by-play announcers saying Marcus Siegel is like this star player. No, actually, like, most of our big busted plays, especially through the first four games of the year, were because Marcus Siegel just messed up his assignment.
Sure. Yeah, and that's one of those things there's a couple corners on Iowa State's roster. The secondary is very, very good, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But there are a couple guys now, because Malik Ferdan is a very good safety when he's when it's Malik Verdon, Bo Freeler, and Jeremiah Cooper, that's the best. That's the best safety group in the Big 12, and you could probably make an argument the best one in the country. But Malik Verdon has Bob Sanders syndrome, where he keeps playing. He hits so hard that he keeps getting himself hurt.
And or thrown out of the game.
So the problem is when he comes out of the game, they keep putting Ben Nickel back there, and he gets burnt constantly. He himself is responsible for a bunch of busted plays. So, you know, it's one of those where I the starting line feel great about it, but there are some people that are very clearly responsible for a bunch of bad plays.
Yeah.
That give me concern for sure.
Yeah. And our team, they've grown up a lot. Our secondary, we've had a lot of injuries on the defense. Daniel Green, sorry. He got hurt in the Missouri game, I want to say, tore his pec. So he's missed a lot. And we were kind of dreading that because, well, he's our 6th-year senior linebacker, came back. And but our linebacking core has stepped it up a lot. We've had so many injuries at cornerback, too. Keenan Garber, who was a wide receiver last year, is one of our starting corners this year. And like, he's gotten worlds better than where he started. Still some room to grow, but I mean, he's a senior, so it doesn't matter a whole lot. But it is nice seeing him kind of settle into his new position. Will Lee, when he's healthy, is very, very good. But just, again, it's the mental mistakes that we have all the time that really kind of kills. We can have a 3rd and 10 and we'll give up 20 yards on just some blown coverage or miscommunication between the secondary. And that's where our team is the worst, because we do it so often. That's where it gets frustrating, because we were top 5 in rushing defense for the first half of the season. And then those mental lapses, when we start playing the Texases, the Ollie Gordons around in the Big 12, you can't do that anymore. And so hopefully when we're playing the way that we should and the way that everybody says that we are coached, they can be a great team. And the box scores of some of our games show that we can. But when the talent level steps up, for some reason, I think they get in their own heads. And they try to overplay instead of just playing and doing what they're taught to do.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, because like that, which is, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to feel about it. It might be false hope, because Iowa State struggles to run the ball big time, and it's 100% the offensive line. Iowa State's got talent at running back. Abu Samah is a stud. If he can ever get an offensive line to run behind, he's going to be a monster. But unfortunately, the offensive line is one of the worst. Is one of the worst in the FBS at generating push in the running game right now. So that's one of those where it's been other teams where they, like against like Cincinnati, they ran for 180 yards or whatever it was. But that's also Cincinnati, and they're very bad.
Year. Against a 3-8 Cincinnati team.
Yeah, Cincinnati's very bad this year. Yeah,
yeah.
It's one of those.
Also, you need games like that to kind of get the confidence.
That's why
people play the cupcakes at the beginning of the year. Doing that to a conference opponent, There definitely is value in just, we know we can do this.
Right. And then you play Texas last week and they rushed for 0.5 yards per rush. And that was not fun. We had 9 rushing yards on the game. That's not going to win you any football games. He's going to win you 0 football games, especially against Texas. So it's one of those where I don't need Iowa State to get 200 rushing yards as a team. That's not how they're going to win the game. If they do, they're probably winning this game, but that's not like, that does not a dead requirement, because they can throw the ball a little bit. But it's going to be one of those, they need to be effective enough in the running game to keep Kansas State honest and not be able to just sit 8 in coverage and force Rocco to throw in these really tight windows, which sometimes he is okay at.
I mean, we do pretty well so far this season when we're playing freshman quarterbacks. Granted, take out the first half against Texas where we were playing their backup freshman quarterback. He kind of torched us, but then the second half we got back to doing what we're used to doing. TCU game, same thing, where our defense, when we don't blitz a whole lot, I don't feel, but when we do, they can be pretty effective. So just the timing of it, the problem is just trusting the secondary. I feel like we can do that, but if we do it too often, we're giving them opportunities to have those mental lapses. And I mean, we've got some experience back there. I mean, Kobe Savage he's in his 5th year, I believe, of college football. He's kind of, I would say he's the leader at this point with Daniel Green getting hurt early in the year. I think Kobe Savage has really stepped up in the leadership role. and holding folks accountable, and VJ Payne, two of our three safeties, those two guys have done a great job. But also, you can only do so much when, you know, you're playing the deep coverage, but everything underneath is getting hit and getting open. So
sure. Well, and it's one of those things, I think the way I would say, I think is probably going to try to attack this is a little bit, is they're going to try to get the ball to Ben Bramer, who's a 6'7" tight end, freshman tight end, runs mm-hmm. like a receiver. He's a matchup problem in the receiving game. And I think they're going to try to use him to stretch the field a little bit, especially through the seams, and make a linebacker cover him down there, or try to attract an extra safety that way, and then hit Jalen Knoll or Jaden Higgins on a backside post or something like that.
Sure.
Those backside slants and backside post routes have been lethal for Iowa State. They've been very, very successful for Iowa State so far this year. So I'm hoping / whatever that they do try to lean on that a little bit, and then use Ben mm-hmm. Bramer with like scissor routes or what am I trying to think? Mesh concepts and things like that. Just try
I mean, if you just find a spot in the zone, we've been really weak about just whenever we do play zone defense. Again, handing folks off as they're passing to someone else has been an issue. Again, if you're doing deep corners, Marcus Siegel has genuinely been a liability this year.
Sure.
Seeing him get all these, you know, comments and or compliments, I should say, it's been really frustrating, because like when you watch the game tape, it's like, oh, Siegel was supposed to be the deep guy there. Oh, Siegel was supposed to step up there.
Right.
And he's not. And so it really depends on what side of the field. If you have a tight end going after Siegel, especially a big physical body, I think you're going to win that, because Siegel is, I mean, he's 6 foot, 200 pounds, maybe. So I would be worried on the K-State side to have that happen too often, because our corners aren't huge either. Parrish is our biggest, or one of our starters, but I mean, he's 5'10".
Right.
So we don't have a lot of size in our secondary. So that those big bodies, whether it's a receiver or tight end, give us a lot of problems.
Yeah. I think and I would say it's got the size there. Like with Jaden Higgins is 6'4", Ben Bramer 6'7", Easton Dean 6'5", 6'6". You know, they've got plenty of size there, but since Alan Lazard and Hakeem Butler left, they haven't really done the post up receiver thing very much. Mm-hmm. Where it was just like truly just send them wherever and throw the ball higher than the cornerback can get to it and they'll figure it out type of thing. Yeah. They haven't really done that. They've got the size of tight end to do that. I guess they kind of did it a little bit with Charlie Kohler, but not a ton. But it was, you know, it seems like this is a matchup where obviously could try to do that, but it's just not something that they've wanted to do for a few years anyways. It'll be probably 5 years, I would say, that mm-hmm. they haven't really done much recently. So I'll be curious to see if they try to lean on the size a little bit, because it's one of those things I think I would say should, because I think there's an advantage to be had there, but we'll see. I would say it's a really stubborn offensive team.
Well, and if we can stuff the run like we typically do, especially against teams that struggle at offensive line.
Yeah.
I think, again, our front six, they do well. Like they've proven they can be one of the top rushing defenses, because they fly to the ball. It's
sure.
It's kind of wild to see. I mean, but that's how K-State's been literally our entire lifetimes.
Right.
And so that's going to be the big thing, is if we can stuff the run. I feel like we can do a good job of that, considering your concerns too, but putting all the pressure consistently, like we can get those third and tens, those third and longs, but then we give up those big plays, and just the chunk plays is what really, really kills us just all the time and letting teams hang around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping Kansas State's willing to let Iowa State hang around for a little while and let some stupid shit happen. Because that's the way Iowa State wins football games, is they make it a muddy and disgusting and really unpleasant to play. And then they just try to squeak something out at the end. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's really the only way Iowa State wins football games at this point. So I
mean, looking at some of these box scores, I mean, you lost to Iowa 20-13.
There's no way to play a game against the University of Iowa and actually enjoy playing or watching that football game. There's no way.
But even, I mean, Iowa doesn't even enjoy watching.
No.
The
only people that hate watching Iowa football more than Iowa State fans are Iowa fans.
I mean, they finally stepped up and got rid of Brian Ferentz.
Yeah.
It might get better for them, because I don't understand how you can be a Big Ten school and have all those resources and then just run the ball 60 times a game. Like I don't understand that. And I know Kirk Ferentz has been around for 30 years now, But I don't know how he doesn't even see the issue there. And I know it's his son, but good Lord.
And that's like a whole thing too in itself. Like, because just kind of quick synopsis of how that whole thing happened. Because of the nepotism thing, Brian Ferentz didn't actually work for his dad. He worked for directly under the AD or whatever. So when Gary Barta left and their new athletic director took over, she did not have any sort of loyalty whatsoever to Brian Ferentz. So she just shit canned him right away or whatever. But Kirk was not happy about that. And everyone was like, you know what, Kirk, you kind of forfeited the reason you forfeited your justification for being pissed off about this when you hired your own kid and then refused to hold him accountable. You dug your own grave here. You cannot be pissed about it because you fucked it up.
Well, and it's super similar. I mean, all of the overlap between Iowa and K-State, going back to Bill Snyder days, even it's there because we had the same situation with Bill Snyder and his son.
Right.
And Sean Snyder, who now is the special teams coordinator at KU, which that's the ultimate backstab right there.
Right. Yeah.
But then also the fact that we beat KU because of special teams was like extra, just
felt good. It felt good. Yeah.
A muffed punt, a blocked extra point. Then we ran back. Ooh, that felt really good.
That felt good. Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
But the box scores for your games are not super pretty.
No, they're not. They're never going to be. It's just.
But also, I know that the Texas game, that was super close because you and I were even talking about it. We were watching. I was flipping back a little bit when I could.
Right.
Watching that, like, it was 7-3 into the third quarter. And so it was really until your inexperience compared to just the raw talent.
The raw talent of Texas. Yep. They just started pulling away just because they are just,
Because if you're not a five-star recruit, they're going to tell you to leave at Texas.
Right.
And
And to credit to Steve Sarkisian too, is he's actually built that program kind of how it should have been built, which is from the offensive line and the defensive line outward. That front six, front seven for Texas is filthy.
They're huge.
And they're huge and they're fast and they're just really good. And the offensive line there is really good. Quinn Ewers seems to be the real deal. So he's built that program out the way it should have been built this whole time, rather than saying let's grab every five-star wide receiver we can possibly find and then just figure it out around them. They said, okay, no, we're going to build the lines out. We're going to build the linebackers. We're going to get a good quarterback, and then we're going to go from there. He's building that program out the way it should have been built the whole time. So credit goes to him for that. But in the end, Texas just had so much talent in there, and it's a really veteran football team too. So it was just one of those where they just kind of pulled away at the end. They made the plays they needed to make, and Iowa State didn't. That's kind of all it was. Iowa State knows that the best chance that they have against more experienced teams is to try to muddy the game up as much as they can, make it just really disgusting to watch, and try to generate a couple turnovers and hope your offense can put together a point, 7 points out of it.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to do that against us because, I mean, we're flirting with a top 10 points per game ranking in the country, which hearing that, I remember a buddy told me that we were nearing that. I think we only scored 31 against KU, so I think we slipped a little bit there. But hearing that K-State is even in the top like 25 with scoring offense is kind of weird to think about. But I mean, we've put up 40 points more times this season than we have in the past like three seasons combined, I think it was. So we're able to put up points. Kleiman is a fantastic coach, and for all the faults that I like to pick apart with Kleiman or with Colin Klein as our offensive coordinator, our offense is still like very, very good. When we are clicking and everybody's working together, our offense is just scary, whether it's, Howard actually finding the open guy, Ben Sinnott. I mean, we haven't even talked about him yet today, and he's one of the best tight ends in the country, and don't tell Iowa fans that, but I mean, it's super fun to see just talent. Our biggest issue on offense is just wide receivers getting open. Our best receiver so far this year has been Jace Brown, who's a true freshman. We've got a lot of talent. We have an Iowa transfer. We had Keegan Johnson, who people were very excited about him coming in. He's done fine.
The funny part is the front half of that sentence completely like does not justify the back half of that sentence.
I know.
We had an Iowa receiver coming in and everybody was really excited about it. And I was like, well, that was dumb.
Everybody was excited about his potential. Cause I guess he had a very good freshman year. Last year didn't do anything and comes to us. He's fine. But our receivers are on our offense. They are definitely the weak point. Just full stop. It's a struggle. And sometimes it's a pain even to watch our receivers try to get open against a good secondary, which like I was the little that I have watched of Iowa State, the secondary has stepped up and made some really good plays, like fundamentally sound, like breaking up passes, not getting penalties. It's been like, there've been moments that I've seen like, oh, that's going to be a problem for our receivers who it's Senate or bust.
Yeah. I mean, TJ Tampa is a first round receiver. He's 6'2", probably going to have a 40 inch vertical. He'll probably run in the 4.4s. I mean, he's a first round pick at corner, and he's probably, mm-hmm. I mean, he's a Thorpe Ward. He'll probably be a Thorpe Ward finalist. He's, you know, one of the best couple in college football. So it's one of those where he can remove a receiver from the game. I mean, truly, like the old Revis Island type of thing, 100% remove a guy from the game.
I don't know who they're going to put him on. Like our personnel around. Phillip Brooks is our leading receiver, but Jace Brown is our best receiver, I would say, because just he only really came on the past 5 or 6 games.
Typically, I would say it'll run a lot of zone, so they'll just keep Miles Purchase on one side and TJ Tampa on the other one. Sure. So they probably won't like pick a guy and have TJ follow him around or anything like that, sure. like you would with some other. So
I don't think we have anybody worth doing that to anyway.
Right, and so I would assume they'll just stick to their zones. I would imagine they'll probably largely stick to their sides of field. I mean, there'll be times where they go to man and they'll follow somebody, but for the most part, they'll stick on a side of the field. And that's really where Miles Purchase is going to be, you know, sometimes in man coverage, if he has to follow somebody around, he can be a little bit of a liability because he just doesn't have the top end speed that some receivers mm-hmm. do. But if he's allowed to stay in a zone, he's usually very good. But TJ Tampa is the one where they're going to keep him on a side where Kansas State is most consistently lining up their best receiver on the field, the one that Iowa State is most worried about anyways. So that'll be one thing here where Iowa State's probably going to force Kansas State to really like, you're going to have to run the football and be fine with 5-6 yards, you know, four or five yards at a time and just chunk it down the field and go from there type of thing. I'm assuming that's kind of what Iowa State's going to try to force them to do.
And if that's the case, like I don't mind that. And I don't think the team minds that either. The problem is, does our offensive coordinator,
is he getting patient?
Because again, Colin Klein wants to win games through the quarterback, and he'll kind of get tunnel vision on, okay, well, yeah, we're getting 8 yards a carry, but I want Will Howard to have X yards, or it's time to call plays. And so if we just really committed to the bit, because we're one of the best running offenses in the country, if we just commit to that and let's win through the quarterback powers, because even whether it's Avery Johnson or it's Will Howard running those still also get 8-10 yards very routinely. And so if that's the type of game that we're forced into, I feel great about that. It's the games like the Texases where just the bodies up front, they keep us from throwing or keep us from running the ball, and they force us to throw. Those are the games that's when Will Howard won't win you the game. He'll lose it. But if you get him into an offense where we're running it 30 times a game at least, and you don't give him an opportunity to lose the game for you. That's where I think Will Howard is at his best. I think our offense is at its best. So if your secondary is keeping our receivers from getting open, I don't mind running the ball on first and second down and just, okay, we have a third and short. Let's just a quick slant somewhere.
Sure. All right. Let's move on to kind of a prediction type thing here. If you're looking at Kansas State, how are they going to try to win this game? Like what's Kansas State's winning formula here? And, you know, give me your, you know, general, you know, summation of the game, how you think it's going to go.
Winning formula. Again, start on the ground. Let's get DJ Giddens at least 15 carries. I think that's what he's got to have. TJ Ward or sorry, let me try that again. Cause that's not TJ Ward. That's the safety for the Broncos. Trayshawn Ward, great Thunder and Lightning. I mean, he's averaging over 5 yards a carry too. But DJ Giddens, I mean, get him carries. He's only 40 yards away from 1,000 yards for the season. So I that seems very, very easy. Let's get him, you know, another big game. He runs out of the backfield. He catches out of the backfield super well too. I mean, yeah, let's let Will Howard get into a rhythm, not forcing it. And then for as far as defense goes, make sure that you have to throw the ball, because I mean, if we can shut down the run completely like we did against, and we did that really, really well against Houston, but Houston's not, I mean, they're not a great offense. But when those games that we have just shut down the running game, those, that's when we're at our best. And so we've got to make sure we do that. Make you have all the errors and just hopefully you make more errors than we do.
Sure. For me, the way I would say the only path to winning this game that I can come up with here is that Iowa State has to get out to a fast start. That's a big play from Jalen Knoll or Jaden Higgins or maybe Ben Bramer, whatever it is. It's, you know, they need to have just something in the run game just to keep Kansas State honest. I don't even need 100 yards. Just give me like a 4 yards of carry. So just give me something or whatever. Yeah. Get a big play here. Try to get out early or try to play with a lead and force Kansas State to throw into your secondary, which if Iowa State's in a position where they can play with a lead and force Will Howard to win with his arm in throwing into Iowa State's secondary, that's where Iowa State's going to probably feel pretty good about its chances. And that's going to start with getting off to a hot start. Like I said, trying to get some big plays to Jalen Knoll, you know, Kansas City native down there. Trying to get on the board early and make Kansas State play from behind and make Will Howard win with their arm.
And if you can force turnovers, if we don't win the turnover battle, it's very, very hard for us to win.
Sure.
So Will Howard in the past, I want to say 6 games, he only has 2 picks. So he's cleaned it up a lot lately.
Sure.
But he's also shown, I mean, he had a pick in every single game in our first 6 games, with 3 of them in Oklahoma State. So if we don't turn the ball over a significant amount, I mean, we can live with, you know, a turnover or two. Most teams, if you want to be ranked in the top 25, like we do, you have to be able to survive a couple turnovers. Mm-hmm. But if we have 3+, that's when just, we absolutely cannot play from. We can't catch up on that.
Well, and the way Iowa State needs to approach this too on defense too is like I think you can they should take a few more chances trying to get forced turnovers, trying to punch a ball out, or trying to ball hawk it, trying to undercut a route or something like that. Because Iowa State is 100% playing with house money here. Like there is a crazy scenario where like if like 6 games fall exactly how they need them to, they can go to Arlington, but they're probably not going to Arlington. Or whatever, because I think Cincinnati has to beat Kansas, which that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I saw the what has to happen decision tree for Iowa State to make it.
Right.
And it's I
the most like I'm the only one that man. The only one that's like not somewhat possible is Cincinnati can't. Cincinnati's not beating Kansas. They're not hanging with Kansas. They're not doing any of that. Like the rest of them, like could theoretically happen, but they're probably not gonna. But you know. Obviously, it's probably not going to Arlington. They've already got a bowl game, which is way above expectations. Yeah. Now, they've already exceeded expectations. They've got 1 game that they're going to left to play. They're going to just do their best. Obviously, it's truly for Iowa State just a matter of trying to grab a big win on the road. That's a big, nice marker for our young team against a well coached Kansas State team. They're truly playing with house money as house money could ever get in a conference game.
I think you said the big thing there too is that you guys are already bowl eligible, and that motivation, like if you were 5-6, I'd be much more scared of that game.
So you're thinking, I would say it's already got there, so they're gonna say fuck it, whatever, you know, we're not gonna worry about it.
I'm not saying they're gonna mail it in because they're 6-5, but there's always the extra motivation when like, okay, we have to win this last game to get to the bowl game. There's always that factor that I think is going to play that would play into it. But since you have 6, there isn't that. Now, granted, it's a rivalry game, so you kind of throw that whole argument out the window.
Sure. Yeah.
Like everybody wants to win this game every year.
Right,
so
right.
I think K-State, the coaching, I think Klieman is going to make sure the team is motivated because our likelihood of going to Arlington is significantly higher than yours.
Right. Yeah.
We only need a couple games to go the right way. I don't think that they're going to. I think Texas and OU are going to sadly win and get in.
Yeah.
I would love Oklahoma State to get in there, and then beat Texas on their way out. Because if Oklahoma State plays how well they should be playing, then like they can beat damn near anybody. Ollie Gordon is probably the best running back in the country,
except Iowa State.
That game was wild.
It was
to me.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
Yeah,
I would say Oklahoma State is always a weird close game. But yeah, so it's one of those, I'm hoping that it's we're playing with house money. Let's just go out. Let's take a few chances, maybe take a few deep shots, try to pick a ball off and just see if you can steal one in Manhattan and see what you can do. Cause like Iowa State and Kansas State right now are probably largely playing for a bowl positioning type of thing. Like Kansas State's probably trying to make an Alamo Bowl or something like that.
Currently, we're slated for the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah.
That's kind of whatever, or it's either Alamo or the Texas Bowl is kind of what everybody's assuming that we're going to.
Sure. Yeah. Cause right now, the Big 12 does not have a New Year's Six automatic bid now because the Sugar Bowl is a playoff bowl.
Yep.
This year. So, like, if you're not in the Sugar Bowl, which the winner of the Big 12 title game probably will be, and maybe not Oklahoma. If Texas wins out, they're a playoff team.
I think Texas is our only real shot to get anybody in the playoff. I think OU has won too many games by not enough.
Sure.
Especially against subpar teams like that UCF game that they barely won. Like, they've had too many games like that for voters. I think Dylan Gabriel is really fun to watch, and their defense has gotten worlds better.
Yeah.
But I mean, hiring Brent Venables will kind of do that.
Sure.
But I don't see the committee, even if OU wins out, I don't think OU's going to the playoff.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So we'll see. You know, they're probably both playing for bowl position, but this is a rivalry game. It's the last game of the season. It's one of those I hope that Iowa State will just decide to take a few more chances because it's a young team just trying to steal a game on the road. And they know, for the record, they did take this kind of similar advice in the offseason when I said this. I said it during the offseason. I said, if there's ever a time where you should take more chances on defense and try to get your turnover numbers up, it's this year because your secondary is so good and you can afford an extra big player too if you're in turnover, you know, generate 10 more turnovers or something like that. It's okay if you give up an extra touchdown or two. And they've done exactly that. That's exactly what the defense has adjusted to this season. Felt pretty good about that prediction or whatever. So I'm hoping they can do the same thing, you know, in this one game sample size too, is that, you know what, screw it. Last game of season, we're already bowl eligible. Let's just go out and let's just try to win this thing. Let's just try to steal this one and get there. So
yeah, let's get weird. There's that weird type of energy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a night game. Who knows? We'll see. In the end, I would say it's a really young team. I don't know if I love playing a veteran team with a really good offensive line in their home stadium at night in November. It's just not. There's a lot of things stacking up against Iowa State, but I think it's going to be. Sure. I think it's going to be a fun game. It wouldn't shock me at all if this is a one score game well into the fourth quarter, and then someone just gets a score late to push it push it over. It wouldn't, you know, where Kansas State might cover, but it might not happen till the last couple minutes or something like that, where they get a touchdown with 2 minutes left, and Iowa State just can't drive down the field and get another score to draw it back to a one score or something like that. So I think it'd be a fun one though.
I think that's more likely to happen. I mean, obviously, just on multiple levels, I would love for us to kind of come out and just blow you guys out, like get a fast start, kind of do what we did to Baylor or to Tech. Well, Tech, we struggled for a long time and then we really opened it up. But I mean, I would love to cover the spread just as kind of a reassurance going into eight, because I want our hopes for Arlington to stay alive.
Sure.
But also too, just let's go out on a high note. And then, you know, we go into our bowl game against A&M or whoever else people are saying that we're going to play, and just, okay, we know that we can do this. We're in a groove right now. Let's make up for this long layoff with we're firing on all cylinders. And so that would be great for us to just know that, okay, our last game we pummeled, everything was working. We know that we can keep this up.
Sure. Now, and especially for a senior laden group, you want to see them finish out on a strong note and stuff like that too. Absolutely. And senior night and all that too, stuff too. So, all right. Do you got a score prediction?
I mean, looking at our most recent games, like we're scoring a lot. It wouldn't surprise me if we hit 40 again. I think that our defense makes too many mental lapses to give you less than probably 28. I know with a freshman quarterback that you guys have, we feast sometimes against those. And so, I mean, I would say probably 41-28 sounds about right. It would be great to cover. Our offense has the potential to put up a lot of points. We'll see. But if it's closer than that, I would be absolutely zero shocked.
I would be blown away if Kansas State gets to 40 points, because Iowa State's defense is very, very good. I've seen enough of these games. This smells like a 23-14 type of game to me. Like it's going to be one of those where you're going to be texting me during the game and like, our offense is bullshit. Our offense is bullshit.
We could score a touchdown and I'll be like, God, what that third down, that one play that was so stupid. We didn't deserve to win that.
Right. Yeah. It's got one of those where like at the end, you might win this one at the end, but you're going to feel really gross afterwards. It's probably this has one of those games written all over it to me. There's a possibility that Kansas State just opens this thing up and wins it by a few scores or something like that. Just as Iowa State, the freshmen are just worn down or whatever it is at the end of the season. They're just kind of done type of thing like that. There is that possibility. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know if I have the guts to pick Iowa State to win this one.
Sure.
But I think it's going to be like a 23-14 type of thing where maybe it's like 17-14 going into the last couple of minutes and then Will Howard runs.
I don't think you're giving your offense enough credit against against Marcus Siegel.
I've watched Marcus our offense Siegel. Enough to know that I'm giving it exactly as much credit as it deserves.
Fair.
So, all right. So we've got, I think we both got Kansas State winning. You've got them scoring just in an absolute shootout, which is crazy town to me.
We do, and we've done it enough that I think it can be done. I think it more likely is going to be us in the mid 30s, you in mid to low 20s is probably more likely, but I'm going with what I want to happen, not what I think is going to happen.
Fair enough.
So the two different predictions, I know.
Well, what I want is 7-3. I want a just disgusting football game. That's all
just
I want.
Payback for that Ohio game.
Yeah, something like that.
To deal with.
So, all right. Well, Matt, thank you for coming on again.
Yeah, man.
We'll get you back. We'll talk again during basketball season. We'll have a lot of fun for that. Because the Big 12 basketball is going to be outrageous again once again this year.
It's with the new teams in the Big 12 this year. Basketball is just, it's going to be absolutely wild.
I like. 2/3 of a 14 team of a 12 team. I would guess probably at least 8 teams are getting into the tournament, and all 8 of them are going to be like six seeds and better. Like they're going to be really good.
There definitely is that potential. I don't think K-State. I mean, but I thought this last year with our team is so transfer heavy yet again.
I don't know what to go with it.
Be a 6 seed going in, but again, Drum Tang. Did one of the best coaching jobs in the country last year.
Sure.
If he does it again, I would be ecstatic if we finish in the top like 5 or 6 in the conference.
Yeah. I would say it's super talented. They're just really young. Lots of freshmen and stuff like that. I mean, the non-conference schedule is complete dog shit. There's nothing like, we're not going to get anything out of it. Like, we're not going to like really know what kind of team this is until conference play or whatever, but they're beating everybody by 50 right now. So I don't know. They're beating like Lindenwood by 55. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. They're making threes, which is fun, I guess. So that's a nice change of pace, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really played a whole lot of teams. I mean, Providence might be a tournament team, but both of our losses so far are at least to top ranked teams. And we lost to USC by a good amount in our opener, but we also, I mean, half of our team was suspended or not around.
Sure.
And we just lost to Miami, who Miami's very, very good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
We play VCU tomorrow. I guess that's easily our best opponent so far. And then we might end up playing Florida Atlantic, depending on later in the tournament. That's about it. Then the next best opponent before conference is Iowa, and they're not that good. I don't know, but we'll figure it out. It'll be a fun season too. So. But thank you for coming on.
Our non-conference is looking wild too, because I forgot we have Villanova.
Oh yeah,
that we play this year. LSU, who LSU was hit or miss last year.
Yeah.
Nebraska. I hope we win by 70.
I would. I mean, they're terrible. They've always been bad.
I know, but it's Nebraska. Like we may not agree on a lot about sports, but we can agree that Nebraska
can go all the way to hell.
That whole state.
They can go all the way to hell. The entire state can go all the way to hell. It's an overturned toilet because that's what it looks like.
Oh yeah.
It's just a poopy state. So, thanks for coming on, Matt. I always appreciate you having you on the show. So we will, talk again in basketball season, and, we'll see what happens this weekend, for the season finale for both teams at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan. Hopefully Iowa State kicks the absolute shit out of Kansas State. And we'll talk to you again, everybody. It's later.
Your prerogative to hope for that.
It's what I'm gonna hope for. So everybody, we'll see you again later this week, and thank you for tuning in all season for us, and everybody have a great rest of your week. Go Cyclones.